You do not get to hear what I'm saying. If you listener, if you are not East Asian, you do not get to hear what I'm listening. Tiger, really, is that something? Is that commentary or something? Write in. I'm typically Tuesdays at gmail.com. Okay, all right, here we go. This is Dry Heave by Tiger Rilly here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF.
This is Bird Note. I'm Ade Ben Salahuddin, an evolutionary biologist in training. It was about 8 a.m. when I stepped off the bus from my overnight summer job, nearly home and ready to sleep. But a sound made me realize I had one more thing to do. A young American robin, still stuck in the chain-link fence where I'd seen it 14 hours earlier. I don't normally intervene, but I'd told myself that if the bird was still there in the morning, I'd try to help. Donning gloves, I tried to gently pull the fledgling out, careful to not injure its wings. After a few attempts, the bird still wouldn't budge. As I paused to reassess, an older black lady approached from up the street. Understanding the problem, she whipped out a purple handkerchief and in 30 seconds dislodged the robin and passed it to me. The woman explained how she grew up in the rural South and had always wanted to become a veterinarian, but was dissuaded by her family before life took over. She said how happy she was to see me out there, and as the bird flew away with its mother, she remarked in awe, "God wanted us to meet this morning." I left with two things when we parted ways. A fond memory, and that purple handkerchief. A torch passed from a generation of black naturalists who never got their chance. This week is Blackbirders Week. To learn how to participate, follow the hashtag Blackbirders Week on social media and visit birdnote.org.
Hey, I, oh, yeah, I, oh, yeah.
by Fawn Wood and Alan DePerna. Here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Brianne.
And we have been listening to Brianne's picks, Brianne's playlist on this very Brianne-centric episode where we're, I would like to say we're talking about whatever she wants to talk about, but I did also like, I was also like, what should we talk about? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, Liz.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not all about you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Not everything's all about you, so.
Mm. Yeah. Why did you pick Hopelessly Devoted by Fawn Wood and Alan DePerna?
Well, Fawn Wood is another artist that I just, I don't know how I heard about her, but I did. She's from St. Paul, Alberta, I believe. Yeah. And she's a Juno Award winner, so go her.
Exciting.
Yeah. And this particular song is inspired by that song from Grease, Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Yeah.
Remember that song, which sounds quite different.
yeah, that's, it's just a, it's an inspiration thing. It's not a cover at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it looks like her album from 2022 was awarded for the Juno Award for Traditional Indigenous Artist of the Year, and she's Cree and Salish. Shout out to Fawn Wood.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely track and a really, I think, good reimagining of the song from Grease. Because yeah. That one's like, whoa. She's really intense about it. And I mean, I get it. She's going through a time.
Mm-hmm.
But Fawn Wood is like very gentle. She's a little bit more contemplative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for choosing that, Brianne.
Of course.
We are talking about Harlequin novels.
Yeah.
And during the break, we had a discussion.
A discussion, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, those Harlequin novels, they appear very white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a
hallmark of the genre.
You would be correct. It is something that has come up. Obviously, you did research, and they started writing in 1949. So that entire time, there's been very few not white main characters, I guess. I'm sure there are some in like the sidelines of some of the stories, depending on where they take place.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, main characters, not a whole lot.
And it seems as though whenever there is a main character who is maybe a love interest or the protagonist who is non-white, a lot of the times there's a lot of that, like, stereotyping in it. I mean, even, I feel like even the title Highland Barbarian is a little bit like,
Yeah, that one is a historical romance, though. It is taking place in 16-something, 17-something. And at that point, those particular people were
Highlanders?
They were Highlanders and like...
They were called barbarians?
They were called barbarians by other people in that area. So it makes sense for the time. But yeah, still not. You don't really want to be a barbarian.
Right.
They don't consider themselves barbarians.
Right.
We find that out after she gets kidnapped and goes back to his hometown, essentially, his home castle.
Ah, okay.
And she's like, oh, dang, you're nice to everybody.
And he's like, yeah, you've been really racist to me.
Pretty much,
and your author continues to use this title in the series.
Yeah, there's several books in this particular series.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the lookout, so.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I don't think that that title would have been published in the year of our supposed 2025.
No.
Strong unlikely.
Unlikely.
Yeah, but I mean, that was 1990.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still like, not far away time.
No. In recent history.
Mm-hmm. And as we were scrolling through the Goodreads list of, what is this called again?
Well, these are the interracial ones, supposedly.
Interracial Harlequin and...
Mills and Boone romances.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm. We looked at some of the covers. They're very interesting because there are a lot of, like, really light-skinned people of color.
Yep.
And then, like, every now and then, there's, like, a visibly, like, black, dark-skinned love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And then still usually with a very white main character.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I've heard in the past, like, I don't really read romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
At all, actually. Sorry. not to make it seem like I'm better than you. No, it doesn't matter. But I don't really, I've never really, like, touched that genre before, but I have heard in the past, like, there is a really, like in many other genres of like novels and fiction, there's a little bit or a big bit of a like lack of inclusivity problem,
mm-hmm.
but particularly with black romantic leads and like darker skin romantic leads, and just in general, like non-white people not really being able to have some time in the spotlight, essentially, even as a protagonist mm-hmm. or as a love interest. Mm-hmm. As a person who reads many romance novels, I believe you told me, like, this is something that you have also observed.
Yeah, I mean, while we're on the topic, I do have a particular series where it is people of color as the main characters, and it was really good.
Okay.
So...
Shout it out.
Yeah. The first novel in the series is called The Proposal. The author is Jasmine Guillory. However it's pronounced, I don't know. But I believe that series also has maybe 5 or 6 books at this point. I've only read the first 3. But, yeah, they were really fun. And as a white person, I had no issues reading the book. Like, it didn't matter to me who the characters were or what their backgrounds are. So, yeah, I don't see why Harlequin didn't make more.
What is the series about?
They're contemporary romances. The first one is I'm going to say it's a fake dating trope that becomes real dating, you know. As it does.
Uh-huh.
And then all the next books follow characters from the first books in their own little adventures.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
I've reread them twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
It, like, does that also, like, so if you compare that
mm-hmm.
to a Harlequin novel.
Mm-hmm.
The level of scandal.
I would almost say that these Jasmine books are more.
Interesting.
More steamy, more scandalous than the Harlequin was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
so there,
you know,
there is maybe some difference in contemporary.
Yeah. And levels. Also, these are newer books, like,
right.
published, within the last 10 years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Where there's probably a little bit more of a, well, there has been, maybe, I don't know, time is a flat circle, but there's maybe, like, a more of an acceptance of the fact that, like, there are some people who want to, like, read books about women who, you know, want to have passionate, incredible, wild love affairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully even, you know, in as we progress in time, let us hope that publishers will begin to recognize that it's not only white women who want that, and it's not only straight women who want that, and not only, you know, able-bodied women and neurotypical women who want that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, there's another series I really liked by Helen Huang, I think her name is.
Okay.
And all her characters are all Asian characters. And not just, like, Chinese. Like, they all the kinds of Asian that are there.
Yes.
Very keep inclusive. Talking.
Keep talking, white lady. But no, yes. Yeah.
And all of her main characters or the love interests are not neurotypical.
So they're neurodivergent?
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. They're all neurodivergent in some sense, which was really refreshing because I feel like all the contemporary that I read is just not. It's very neurotypical people, and that's fine. But you want a little difference in there, a little variety.
Yeah, guess what? Neurodivergent people fall in love too.
Yeah, they exist, and this is what they can look like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good one, and it was another series where the first book is the one couple, the next book is a different couple, but you were introduced to them, so you know them.
I get the feeling and sense that, like, with a lot of these romance novels, it's like, in my series, I'm going to introduce you to one pair, and then later on, we're expanding their network.
Correct.
Okay.
That's pretty much how it goes. It's a sister, it's a roommate, it's a cousin, it's a friend. Yeah.
You know, as we wrap up the show, I just really want to add my little thing in here.
Yes.
That feels like very, like, oftentimes what happens in, like, shoujo manga.
Really?
Yeah, because some of the shoujo manga that's, like, romantic, a lot of the times they'll focus on, like, the main girl, her love interest, her the possible, like, love interest rival. And then it will also talk about all of her friends and all the people who they fall in love with. Or, like, her siblings, all the people they fall in love with. Sometimes her parents, you know, they fell in love and stuff like that. Staple, you know, love brings us monogamy.
Yeah. And a lot of these ones revolve around a wedding. So it's like a wedding is bringing a big group of people together, and people in big groups meet each other and talk to each other and make connections.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that's common.
Yeah, that is apparently a thing.
When you talk to people.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Incredible. Incredible. Well, I mean, you're interested in reading more romance novels and harlequins, and also interested in reading more that have spotlighted diverse voices written by authors who are not just cishet white able-bodied people. If you, the listener, if you have any suggestions for Brianne, feel free to write in to Typically Tuesdays, and I'll pass it on to her.
Yes, please do. I welcome all recommendations.
Send me a message over on Instagram. I'm at Typically Tuesdays, or you can send me an email, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. You know, one thing we haven't really touched on, and we are quickly running out of time.
Yes.
But one thing we haven't touched on is one of the greatest romance stories of all time, Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
Which we are, well, I'm really only a fan of the Keira Knightley version because I like Keira Knightley.
Fair.
That is probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then at the 20-year anniversary, I think, of the Keira Knightley version.
Yes.
Is this year. And then we found out that the director is a little bit of a scumbag.
Yes, we did.
Yep. Serial cheater. But you know what? Maybe serial cheaters know what women want, because clearly he directed an incredible movie, which had a beautiful romance in it, based off of an incredible novel, Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he is borrowing from a book that a woman has written, so I mean, he's got, like, stuff already there.
He's got, he's just, you know, he's just, like, all the ingredients are there. He's just putting it into the wok.
Correct. Yeah.
And he did something that appeases, I think, many women, which is that he put Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hit all the bases.
He did everything that he could possibly do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Great. I think we're done here.
Yeah. You want me to talk about the last song?
Really quickly. Really quickly, number one, happy Black Birders Week. I guess that's already passed by the time you listen to this, because it was a week ago. But It's exciting to celebrate because we want to make sure that the outdoors and birding and activities are inclusive for everyone. And you know what? Some of the best birders are Black folks because they've been on this continent for hundreds of years due to horrible things, but they have survived throughout by relying on nature a lot of the times. So shout out to Black birders, shout out to birders, shout out to birds, and shout out to Black people in STEM. There's a really great Instagram account, you can check it out, called Black AF in STEM. And there's a lot of like really great Black Birders Week content that you can catch up on if you missed it. And as well, I encourage you to tune into more great CJSF programming if you enjoyed today's program. Thank you for tuning in, as always. You can check out... Ooh, what show do I want to shout out today? I've been listening to a lot of Slumber Party, which airs every Tuesday from 6 to 7 in the evening. I think the next couple of weeks it's just DJ Coco, but she's always talking about really interesting topics around health. And, like, she recently did an episode about Buddhism. She even played, like, Lucy Dacus on the program. If you are a fan of Typically Tuesdays and you like the music that I usually play, which includes Lucy Dacus, you might also enjoy, I mean, Slumber Party with DJ Coco, airing every Tuesday evening from 6 to 7, because she might be playing Lucy Dacus or any other select great musicians out there who they play on the show. Check it out. All right. I'm almost done here. Brianne.
Yes.
Tell me about the last song.
The last song is Siren Summons by Pilk Silk. They are from Yellowknife, two sisters, and I actually got to see them perform live at the 2022 Roots and Blues Festival in Salmon Arm. Enjoy.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, then. You heard her. So thank you so much for joining me today, Brianne.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And I hope you get into this next track, I guess the final track on the show. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Pilk Silk with Siren Summons. And yeah, enjoy. I'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you for tuning in to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, BC.